Welcome back to Upstate's HealthLink on air. Linda Cohen along with you. Well, living wills and other advanced directives are the documents that share your preferences regarding your treatment if you're faced with a serious accident or illness, or if you're facing the end of life. Well, with me today is Patricia Knox. She is a family nurse practitioner and she's nationally certified as a palliative care specialist, and she's from Upstate Medical University. She's here with us today to help us understand what these documents are and why they're so important. Welcome, Patricia. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you, Linda. I appreciate the opportunity to be here.
So when we talk about advanced directives, tell us what we mean by that, and how are they different, or do they include this concept of a living will?
Okay, advanced directives are documents or planning for our future medical care. They include a healthcare proxy, which is recognized in New York State, and that is someone you appoint to make decisions for you when you're unable to. A living will goes into more detail about what your wishes would be and is used as extra information when your healthcare proxy is trying to make healthcare decisions. The planning is important because, as you said, none of us know what the future might bring. We might unexpectedly be in an accident. We might have a chronic illness that suddenly gets worse and complications cause us to be unable to make decisions for ourselves. So then we say, who's going to make these decisions for us?
So in fact, what you're saying is really any adult, for the most part, I mean, theoretically, even teenagers, who might be driving in cars and what have you, should really have some advanced directives in place. Because we, as you just said, we never really know when something might happen like that. But it also strikes me that it's such a morbid, for most people, a morbid and uncomfortable topic to, first of all, to think about, let alone actually deal with in some ways. What are the barriers to people getting these things together?
Well, I think you've talked about a couple. We are a death-denying society. The fact that all of us are going to die is not terribly acceptable to us. We try and beat that on many occasions. So it is important that we try and have planning. We don't worry about not planning for our financial future, but we very rarely want to think about our healthcare future. You're right, those discussions are difficult to have, but it's very important. 18 years of age is the age for a healthcare proxy in New York State, but it doesn't mean that you can't have those discussions with your loved ones. I had a case of a 17-year-old who had a discussion with his loved ones. So unfortunately, when he was in an accident, his family was able to know what his wishes and his values were and make decisions on his behalf.
Clarify that one point again. You said 18 years old in New York State. What do you mean? Do you mean in order to assign someone as a healthcare proxy, you must yourself be 18 in order to choose someone as a healthcare proxy?
Exactly. That's the legal age in New York State. But again, to have those discussions, there's no age limit for that. So having that discussion with your loved one, whether you even complete a healthcare proxy, is pretty important to talk about your values and talk about your beliefs and what would you want someone to do for you when you can't speak for yourself.
So just to, again, reiterate, the component parts of this in terms of some of this is just discussions, like you said. Share your wishes, talk to people that you care about or people that might be involved in your care going forward if you should have some kind of a debilitating disease or a life-threatening illness of some kind. But when we talk about the actual paperwork, things that you want to write down, you're talking about an actual living will, which specifies the kinds of things you want done or not done. Is that correct?
Correct. And in New York State, on your healthcare proxy, which is a legal document that you appoint the person who's going to make those decisions, you can also include specifics on that also. If you talked about wanting to have artificial nutrition and hydration or dialysis, you could include that on your healthcare proxy. You could also document about organ donation if you were interested. A living will is more specific. You do need your attorney to help you with that and go into more detail about what your values and wishes are. but a healthcare proxy can be done by anyone over the age of 18 with two people to witness your signature that you've appointed someone.
How about something like a DNR, which is a do not resuscitate? Is that part of that as well? Is it part of the healthcare proxy form? Is that on the living will? Where is that indicated?
The do not resuscitate is not part of either one of those forms. The discussion about that should be with your healthcare provider in terms of, you know, do you have an illness that looks like you would maybe not survive after 6 months? Then having a discussion about a do not resuscitate order would be important. When you appoint a healthcare proxy, you're having the discussion, you're putting in writing who the person is, but it's more important to have the discussion of what your wishes and values are. Do you want your life prolonged if, in fact, you have a serious illness and are on a ventilator? Do you want that maintained and continued? Do you want to be kept alive with artificial nutrition and hydration? Is that important to you? Or do you have some framework that says, if I'm not able to engage with my family, my loved ones, or if my physician or healthcare provider says that I'm likely not going to recover, then, and I'm on the ventilator, then it's okay after a period of time to take me off the ventilator, allow nature to take its course, and to die with dignity.
A difficult decision, certainly for the family, and all the more reason why it's so important to have that conversation and have it written somewhere or have it been said, so that whomever is involved in your care going forward knows your wishes. Tell me, how would you go about, or what are your recommendations for choosing a healthcare proxy or a healthcare agent? I mean, it doesn't always have to be someone from your family, right?
Absolutely. A lot of people say, I don't know that my spouse could be my healthcare proxy because it is a stressful decision-making situation. And so therefore, choosing someone, you pick someone who knows what your values and your beliefs are and who you believe could honor those wishes in a difficult situation at a difficult time. So it could be a friend. It could be someone that you've worked with. What it can't be is your physician or primary care provider. They cannot be your healthcare proxy.
But it could be someone who's maybe even helped you with financial decisions. The point is, it doesn't have to be a family member, but someone who would respect your wishes.
Absolutely.
And with whom you can really be open and honest about things. And obviously, you don't want to pick someone just out of feelings of guilt or obligation. You want to pick them because they really will do the job and do it correctly.
Absolutely. And when it comes to family, a lot of family would say, well, why wasn't I chosen as your healthcare proxy, and feel somewhat insulted at times. The other issue is if you have, for example, you're a parent of a number of children, it's very important that you probably have the discussions, if you've chosen one child over another, to share that information with all of them, or to have that discussion at a time when you can all find out what the problems are versus having to be in the stress of the moment.
Right. How do you decide when you're trying to put this stuff down or talk about it with someone what treatments you might want? I mean, obviously you'd want to talk to your doctor about what your values are, but I mean, how do you make that kind of decision? I mean, do things, for example, like how important your independence is, or the notion of self-sufficiency, or what would you feel would not make life worth living? Because the kinds of things you have to determine are, do you want to be resuscitated like the DNR? Do you want to be put on mechanical ventilation? Do you want nutritional or hydration assistance long after you're able to sustain it on your own, or even have dialysis ongoing? How do you make those decisions?
I think that for people who are dealing with chronic illness and maybe long-term dialysis, as an example, have more time to think about what their functional status is. What does it mean for them to continue with dialysis? What does it mean in their life every day as to their energy, their function, how much support they need? I think that it's very hard to cover all or any situations that could be possibly occurring. So I think it is better to talk about function, to talk about values, to talk about what a person would find as quality of life for them.
What's meaningful life.
Exactly.
How about things like organ donation? How do people make that decision, or what types of things would you would you recommend people thinking about? And of course, as I know, because I've done some interviews about this, we are in such dire need in many cases of organs, you know, for transplants to help a lot of people who are on these long lists, waiting lists.
Absolutely. I think it's important that you talk to someone who has a lot of information. We have a wonderful support service in our local area about the organ donation, and I think any number of people, the organ procurement organization would be more than willing to talk to people online. There's resources. I think those of us who've seen and witnessed the gift that it is for family, I've had a family member receive organs, but I also think that as someone is in a situation where their loved one is seriously ill, they have no control over the fact this person is going to die, that oftentimes the thought of this is a gift they're going to give someone else is what motivates people to think about organ donation. It is a very personal, religious and spiritual decision. So again, I think talking to as many people that could be a resource to you about that before you could make that decision.
What do you recommend in terms of how people begin? I mean, as I said, as we said in the beginning, it's a difficult thing to face for many and a difficult conversation to have. What do you say to people? What would be the first step?
I think the first step would be, have you thought about what your future healthcare decisions might look like? I mean, what age a person is, what experiences they've had. I would say, have you had any family experience? Was your mother or your grandmother, have you been witness to people having to make these decisions? Or the other place is the media. You know, have you seen it on television? After the Terri Schiavo case, many, many people had discussions in their families about artificial nutrition and hydration.
In terms of prolonging life,
absolutely,
way beyond the place where it was really valuable or meaningful life.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So having that, do you need to contact a lawyer for the living will, or is that something you can do on your own as well?
I think working with an attorney on a living will is important. I think talking with your primary health care provider about the health care proxy and the decisions. We talk about some people who are fearful of putting anything in writing. So we do have people who say, but what if something changes? Or what if someone can't find that? Then it's very important to at least have had that discussion with your loved one's healthcare proxy, but also with your healthcare provider, because they can attest to the fact that that discussion was had ahead of time, and given the circumstance, that can be supporting information for them
so
to make decisions.
So does New York State requires forms to be filled out, and you're supposed to give them to your doctor, so they're in your medical record somewhere, as well as perhaps given to a family member or your healthcare proxy as well?
Absolutely.
So you want, and I don't want to run out of time. Is how important is it to review your advanced directives on a somewhat regular basis? That's assuming you don't know you have a date with death in the next, let's say, 2 weeks or 3 months. But in terms of as you go through your life, if you do this early enough,
I think it's very important that we review our documents for the reason that maybe the person we appointed as our healthcare proxy can no longer be the person, or that our own values and our own choices have changed.
Or our health has changed.
Yes, I may not want to be on a ventilator, or I may want to.
Yeah,
I think yearly is good, and I know our internal medicine people oftentimes ask their patients on a yearly physical assessment to review that document with them.
Well, this is a heavy topic, but a very, very important one. And I want to thank you so much for coming in and sharing all of your wisdom and your knowledge with us, and hope that maybe we've inspired people to do something about it. My guest has been Patricia Knox. She is a family nurse practitioner, a palliative care specialist. Stay right there. We'll be right back with more HealthLink on Air right after this short break.